Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call to bring up whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. And you can call and bring up whatever is on your mind or talk about what we're talking about. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a black man in Ohio getting attacked with a canine. And the police officer who let the canine go actually got fired.
Wow, shocking.
Not that police officers aren't allowed to let their dogs attack you, but apparently he didn't do it in the right way.
Hmm.
So we'll get into that. I also wanted to talk about the Barbie movie, because Ian, you and I went and saw it the day it came out, didn't we?
And who are you?
In the studio with you tonight is me, Bonnie.
And I'm Ian.
That just confused me when you said that.
That's okay. Just wanted to make sure the audience knew.
I know, but we went and saw the Barbie movie, didn't we?
We sure did. And I have to say, it was really a lot of fun. I had, of course, you know, growing up a boy, had no interest in Barbies as a child. I was playing with Transformers. But I also, my sister, I don't think really was that into them. Maybe she had a couple of them or something, but
I remember asking you before if your sister was into Barbies, and you said no, she's into Care Bears.
Yeah, that sounds about more her speed. But so I don't really have any like stories about torturing Barbies, because that was like a thing that that boys grew up doing.
Yeah.
Was like trying to harm the Barbie dolls that their sisters had. So I never really had that.
We would
that
always
experience.
Me and my sister were like the same age. Like, she's not my twin, but she's as close as you can basically get to being the same age as being a sister.
Mm-hmm.
She's only like less than a year and a half older than me. We would always play with Barbies. Barbie was my thing and my sister's thing. It was not Bratz dolls. I wasn't allowed
to
have
like
Bratz
dolls.
That's
like a newer thing. That came out, 20 years ago?
That came out when I was a kid, too.
Right.
I mean, I'm only 27.
Well, they didn't have that in the 1980s.
Right.
In the 80s, it was like Cabbage Patch Kids were really big.
Yep, and that's hit on in the Barbie movie,
yeah.
Baby Dolls.
And then Barbie, of course, was really big. I mean, there were probably other things that I was just not privy to as a boy.
Right.
But those were the two that, like, made it into my perceptions.
As far as dolls, it was basically just Polly Pocket and Barbie dolls that my sister and I played with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was lots of, like, animal dolls, like T.Y. Beanie Babies or Ty, however you say it.
Yeah, I remember seeing the Polly Pocket ads in the 90s.
Yeah, those Polly Pockets that first came out were the tiny ones that literally mm-hmm. were like, oh, it's pocket size. You get a
right.
little heart locket thing and a tiny Polly Pocket. I had one of those, but only, like, one. And then they came out with a bigger sized one, and she would still have her own little house that was, like, small and compact. But it was bigger. Yeah, I love Polly Pocket and their little plastic, almost like rubber clothes are really hard to get on her. That was so fun. But Barbie was always number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my first Christmases I can remember, I still lived in Alaska, so I had to be less than 3 years old. I got a Barbie house, and we had that forever.
They had that in the movie?
Yep, like the Barbie Dream House.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was that brand of Barbie Dream House or what, but I had some Barbie big house.
Mm.
And my brother that was 8 years older than me, we would always try to get him to come play Barbie with us, because he would first act like he was playing Barbies with us, and then he'd, like, destroy everything and make us laugh.
Mm.
So he didn't, like, kill our Barbies, like, cut their hair off or something like that, but he would, like, make Barbie get in a car accident.
Oh, my goodness. Sounds like something a boy would do.
Yeah. And also, I only remember having one Ken ever, And I always remembered Ken having brown hair. He has blonde hair in this movie.
I think they had multiple Kens.
Yeah, no, there must be multiple ones. I just never paid attention to Ken. It's not like I went down the Barbie aisles.
Neither did Barbie, apparently.
Right. And that's kind of the point of the movie, that Ken is just an accessory to Barbie. But, yeah, I had this snake T.Y. Beanie Baby that we used as a boy for some reason.
Okay. Imagination.
Yep. And, I don't know, that was one part about the movie that I really liked, was that it, in a way, that maybe you would have to have grown up playing doll to understand, because I was kind of trying to explain it to Ian, but he didn't really seem to know what I meant. The Barbie movie felt less like a movie with this movie flow, like, oh, it's part one, part two, and now we're in the last scene, and it's all going to be put together. It felt more like a girl playing with Barbies, a whole bunch of Barbies at once, and then she's going through and, okay, now we got to figure out what happens to this one for the end of the day of this story we made. It didn't feel so organized, but...
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I thought it was a good thing because not all movies are that way. Like, lots of movies have this obvious, like, you know where this is going type of thing. This one kind of didn't. But the big question right now is, was Barbie woke? And we know for sure that Go Woke, Go Broke didn't work on this.
Yeah, it hit, what, $150 million or something this weekend?
It got a record for, I don't know what you said, it was post-COVID or...
No, I think it was this year.
Just a record for this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it did really well, especially with movies not doing that well. I saw so many of my friends posting that they're going to see it, and... Seems like everybody wanted to wear pink to go see the movie. And now I've been seeing way more people than normal just wearing pink in their day-to-day lives. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if store owners checked their, like, inventory by color and saw that pink was going up.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't have any proof of that, but I believe it. I would assert that it's true. But yeah... A lot of the people that went and saw Barbie, I think, took it too much on face value. Like,
it was definitely all about promoting the idea of the patriarchy as this sort of negative thing. So I think from that perspective, it was quote-unquote woke. If the definition of woke is politically correctisms of the current moment, then
but was
yeah.
it like you said that was what it was all about, and I don't agree that that was it was all about, or two, that they were only making woke people look good. They weren't just like, oh, woke is obviously right the whole time. They were making a woke character look bad.
Really? Who was that?
The teenage girl.
Okay. Yeah,
she would go off
true.
Calling Barbie fascist and all this stuff, and she was a bad character until she had a change of heart. And they're making her look like an annoying, like, you don't really get it. She doesn't really get it. She's only seeing the face value of Barbie, you know, being white or whatever. Oh, well, you made us feel bad because we don't have straight hair, is something she said. Or maybe it was blonde hair. I played with so many blonde Barbies, never even considered that I didn't have blonde hair, so I think that's kind of silly.
Okay. I think you make a good point about that. She is a very negative character initially, and she has all the hallmarks of a woke, quote-unquote woke person. I don't like using the term woke, so I'd rather say politically correct, but...
Yeah.
She has all those hallmarks, and then, as you say, does have a shift in her character later on. But they definitely hit hard on patriarchy this, patriarchy that. Patriarchy sort of the, without getting into too much detail, I don't want to spoil the film, but the patriarchy sort of the bad guy, if you will, in this movie. So from that perspective, it definitely hits you over the head with that, and that was the reason why I took a point off from the movie when I posted my brief thoughts on social media a few days ago, which is to say that I gave it a 9 out of 10. I thought it was a really excellent film, very creative, and, you know, it could have used... I don't think it needed to be so political in that way, but it's a sign of the times.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't need to be, but I also just... The main thing I want to say about this is that if you go and see Barbie the movie, everybody's saying that, oh, they shouldn't have made it a sermon. Not everybody, but the, like, right-wingers. I just looked up some quick, like, right-wing reviews. And people were saying, oh, it's a sermon. But the thing is, I don't really think that. I think that they touch on so many different aspects of culture right now in general, and not, it wasn't just the patriarchy. Besides, I think that they hinted that the patriarchy wasn't very real, because Ken went there and he was like, whoa, I could do whatever I want because I'm a man, and then he couldn't get the jobs. That he was like,
he wanted to be a doctor, but he didn't have a medical degree.
He's like, I'll take this doctor job, sir. And the woman's like, you're going to have to fill out, do you have a resume? Do you have a doctorate or anything? And he was just like, no, I'm a man. And she was like, get out of here. Obviously.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Bonnie. That is a sort of a subtle swipe suggesting that just because you're a man doesn't mean you're going to be able to, you know, get the big jobs or whatever.
Yeah. The thing is, I really don't like feminism. So I think that people should consider that I am a woman, but I'm not coming from the place of, oh, I love that it destroyed the patriarchy and men. Oh, I hate men, because a lot of people are just going to expect that from me being a woman and then me being a woman that's young and saying that I like the Barbie movie. But I really don't like feminism. Just the other day, I was annoyed because this lady on Twitter, she posted this thing saying, oh, feminism affects me in this way because I go to the doctor and they'll ask me, are you, I'm not exaggerating at all. She was saying that her doctor uses words like peg and hole, a front hole owner. I feel bad even saying that on the radio. It sounds so gross.
To describe a woman?
To describe a woman. Like, oh, they won't even use the word woman anymore. And this is like a lesbian, conservative, slash libertarian-ish, but definitely like culturally conservative woman who's on Twitter. And she blocked me after this. Because she posted that, like, she can't even go to the doctor without hearing someone refer to her as a front hole. And I was like, what are
That's
you
crazy.
Talking about?
Why are you
about?
Going to that doctor?
And, well, the thing was, the whole thing she posted said, like, obviously this affects me. Stop asking me how it affects me. And I said, I'm still asking how it affects you. Because other people using words shouldn't affect you. If you think somebody's saying stupid things, don't talk to that person. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, what about the doctors? I literally can't go to a doctor in Portland, Oregon, without hearing this type of terminology.
Hard and to believe that that's true.
I don't believe it. I sincerely don't believe it. It's not like, I don't know.
I mean, all you have to do is call up a dozen doctors.
Yeah.
And you can ask, do you refer to women as front holes in your office? If yes, oh, have a nice day. I won't be coming there. I bet you'll find one that doesn't. But if it's what she's saying is true, then that's shocking.
That is shocking. But the other thing I told her is, like, she was like, look up doctors in Portland. I was like, why would I do that? You live in Portland as a choice.
True.
And she was like, oh, I see. You're one of those New Hampshire people who says everybody should move to New Hampshire. It's not even just New Hampshire. Like, San Antonio, Texas, where I lived before, mm-hmm. I've been to plenty of doctor offices there and I've never been called a front hole. And
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's just ridiculous. So, anyways, and then I'm just bringing this up to say that I think that this, women are constantly under attack. It's not just the men now. Now it's the men who think they're women. I think that that's ridiculous. I'm not under attack. I live a great life. I love my life. I think being a woman is so much better than being a man.
Hmm.
For the experience, how are you supposed to know, Ian?
You don't know.
I mean, I guess I don't know what it's like to be a man, but I don't look at it and feel jealous.
You do get to live longer, probably.
I don't want to live longer than you.
You also can't pee while standing up. So that's a downside. But
why
you get multiple orgasms.
It so looks like that it
positive.
Is dirty to pee standing up.
Everybody has it. It's got their ups and downs. So back to Barbie, though. I mean, so I liked what you were saying about, you know, maybe this wasn't as woke as some people are saying it was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't really take away from it the fact that they really pound the patriarchy thing. I mean, if you look at the male characters in the film, there really aren't any male characters that have, at least nothing coming to my mind particularly, that have any real redeeming value, with the exception of maybe Alan, who seems to be the gay character.
Yeah, you can't really tell if he's gay or what. He's just not like other Kens. But yeah. Other Kens seem kind of gay, so.
Now, you didn't know about him, right?
Yeah, I didn't know there was such a thing as an Alan doll.
So you weren't like a Barbie fanatic. You
no.
were just a little girl that grew up with a some Barbies. Did you have like a big collection?
I just think most girls didn't care that much about Kens / Alan. Apparently Alan existed.
Do you think it was gay guys that were buying the Ken dolls?
Because
somebody must have been buying them.
I think they maybe my mom was like, yeah, we don't need you in a room alone playing with Barbies and Kens.
And Kens.
That's weird.
Okay.
And I could see that. I'm not even, like, making fun of my mom or something for that. Okay. I could see
that's probably not uncommon. Sure.
Not being uncommon.
Yeah.
And I remember having a Ken, but I think something happened to him. Like, we also weren't interested in Ken. Whenever you want a new doll, are you like, I need a new Ken for my Barbie? Or are you like, oh, this Barbie has an amazing dress. Like, I want this one. Like, mm-hmm. Anytime you get a new Barbie, you want that one. The other thing is I saw the Barbie movies. I had, like, Barbie books. And I knew about some of the other characters that a lot of people don't know about, like Midge. Never heard that name used in my life except on Barbie. And Teresa. I only remember that because I was like, oh, there's a brunette Barbie. Not that I was like, oh, life-changing, like, oh, this Barbie looks like me. I don't even think I had a Teresa. In fact, me and my sister would argue over getting to play with this Barbie we had that was like, I don't know what race she was supposed to be, but, like, brown skin, brown eyes, and brown hair. She didn't look like us, but she was, like, the prettiest one to us. But anyways, yeah, so I think that's a really stupid idea that people bring up a lot. It's, like, Barbie, the stereotypical Barbie you think of, doesn't look like me. I never even considered her not looking like mm-hmm. me. I guess one would say, oh, but you're a skinny, blue-eyed white girl, so it's only, like, one feature away.
So did you feel like there were any redeeming male characters in the film? Like, were there any male characters that were particularly helpful to the protagonists or brought anything to the table besides comic relief?
I don't think that that's really the point, because Barbie also was extremely generic and had to have, like, a change of heart to realize that being perfect isn't, like, as amazing as she thought to begin with. I think the point is, they finally realize that a perfect female world maybe isn't better than a world where men have some freedom as well. So why would, if it was all just like woke BS, you would think I'm not going to give away the ending, but basically Barbie Land is a world that is amazing for Barbie, and Ken kind of has the short end of the stick, mm-hmm. and then when Barbie travels to the real world, and Ken travels to the real world, Ken brings patriarchy back, like his idea of what patriarchy is, because he's like a Ken doll, he doesn't really read or he's not very smart, so he just thinks patriarchy is all about drinking beers from a mini fridge, having a leather couch, singing this song by Three Doors Down over and over again, mm-hmm. and just like, and that's the other thing. They only attack some really silly aspects of, like, men that actually made me, like, really laugh out loud, because I was like, I've never even thought of the fact that, like, every bachelor man, including Ian, when he was a bachelor, has a leather couch. Why is that? But,
leather couches are nice.
It's not like they were attacking, like, you men, you just want to be the protectors and stuff like that. You know, the stuff that people really get sensitive about because they believe that, well, that's a good thing about men, and people are trying to make it seem bad. I don't agree with making that seem bad either.
I mean, I'm not an expert on these matters, but I thought the whole idea of the patriarchy was that men are in charge, men are in control, men rule the, you know, the corporate world, men rule the you-fill-in-the-blank world, whatever it is, you know, for the most part, men rule it, unless there's specific carve-outs for women. And, I mean, in this film, the men are the ones who are running Mattel. So Mattel is in the movie, which is actually one of the more entertaining aspects of the film and kind of surprising aspects of it, is Mattel basically allowed themselves to be skewered. Obviously, they had to get permission for this. And there's a lot of jabs at Mattel as a company at some of the mistakes that they made over time. And they're very funny. They're very funny jabs. They'll bring up like these one-off dolls that they tried to introduce and they just didn't work out. And they took them off the line or whatever. Like there was this pregnant Barbie.
Yeah, there was a pregnant Barbie.
There was a sugar daddy Ken at one point. So like you and you said you weren't a big Barbie fan, so you didn't even know about. Oh, I thought you said you weren't a huge fanatic of Barbie, that you just kind of grew up with her. Like,
I was
basically
as fanatic as a kid could be.
Right, but you didn't carry it into adulthood. You don't have a collection of Barbies. You didn't know about the Allen doll. You didn't know about the sugar daddy Ken. Or did you even know about the pregnant?
You're being kind of a gatekeeper at this point.
Did you even know about the pregnant Barbie?
There was a pregnant Barbie. I never had it.
Okay.
I mean, I just think that's weird. I had a Barbie with a baby, and it was the actual, like, stereotypical Barbie-looking one that had a baby, but she wasn't pregnant, I don't think. I don't think she could be pregnant.
She wasn't like Trailer Trash Barbie?
No.
She had a baby? No, I'm not trying to be a gatekeeper. I don't know what you mean by that.
You're trying to say I wasn't a big enough fan of Barbie.
No, I don't. I just don't know. I don't. You seemed to not know some of the references that they were making in the movie.
It's been
so.
On since the 40s.
Yeah.
Like, and I like I said, I wouldn't go to the Barbie aisle, which was like where I went to when my parents went to Walmart to look at Ken's and Allen's.
Yeah. So the point is, the Barbie company, Mattel, is represented in a very corporate manner in this particular film. You know, like the company is over corporatized. I mean, it's sort of almost like Matrix level dull in the company. Like there's the boardroom where the all male board of directors is there, and it's a large, very large board. There's probably at least 20 board of directors members.
Which I don't believe about real life. And I was thinking that during the movie.
That's probably not the case for real life. Yeah.
I bet that there's lots of women and diversity and stuff like that, because that's a thing. Nowadays.
Well, at one point when pressed, the CEO character played by Will Ferrell does claim that there were two CEOs who were female in Mattel's history. And I don't know if that's true, but I presume it is. I don't think they would have put something like that in the movie if it wasn't true. But the one female character that works in this company is the secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, even the underlings in the company, which look, you know, work in this matrix-like drab underfloor
cubicles
with no... You know,
light.
Yeah, very, very cave-like. They're all males. So, I mean, the males are effectively the bad guys in the movie. The patriarchy is sort of the bad concept that must be defeated.
But here's the thing. I don't want to give away the ending.
Yeah.
I feel like I will a little bit. So alert if you don't want to have any spoiler
alert.
This isn't like intense spoiler, but I think that one thing you're missing is in perfect Barbie dreamland, where Barbie is doing so much better than Ken and everything's perfect for women only. She realizes that she's not that happy there and goes to the world where quote unquote patriarchy exists.
Sure.
So okay, I kind of did give away a pretty big part there. I forgot.
Mm.
She chooses to become human.
Okay. Yep. That's a big, big giveaway there.
I said it. So yeah, I said
you
did it before.
Say spoiler alert.
Yeah, I did say spoiler alert. So I want
to
say this. I think that you're missing that Ken goes into the real world. He sees that there's men on the dollar bills and silly things like that. He sees a gym where guys are working out. They're like, bro. And he believes that patriarchy is real because of some silly things, not because of like important stuff.
Does he even know what patriarchy
exactly.
is?
Exactly. He's like unread.
He does.
And then he never really he thinks the patriarchy has something to do with horses because he saw a policeman on a horse. And
Well, I think we had to address the thing you revealed just a moment ago as we're going to read the Jeffrey Tucker quote about this.
Oh, yeah. That's the point.
Which kind of digs into
the real meaning.
Jeffrey Tucker really went deep with this movie, and I like what he has to say about it.
Me too. So let's get into that when we come back. 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. New home sales are slowing. Government figures show sales of new single-family homes fell to an annual rate of 697,000 units in June. That's a 2.5% decline from May's revised rate of 715,000 units. The U.S. government is in possession of UFOs. That's what a former U.S. intelligence official said while testifying before a House subcommittee today.
Mr. Gresh, finally, do you believe that our government is in possession of UAPs?
Absolutely, based on interviewing over 40 witnesses over 4 years.
Gresh added he's faced brutal retaliation for coming forward. There are no flex alerts or specific calls for conservation in California, but the group overseeing the state's power grid has issued an emergency alert watch for tonight between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. Pacific time. An emergency alert watch is the lowest of five levels used by the California Independent System Operator. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Radio that you control, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind or comment on whatever we're talking about. It's up to you. In the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Yeah, it's Ian.
I'm writing the word Barbie, so I almost said it's me, Barbie.
Well, you did dress up as Barbie for the movie.
Yep, and that was very fun.
Yeah, it was fun. We went to see it on the opening day, or actually, I guess pre-opening day. For whatever reason, sometimes movies show on Thursdays here in Keene.
Yeah, I kept seeing ads that I think it was going to be the 21st, mm-hmm. and we saw it on the 20th.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, in Keene, it's great for movies because Ian said that was the most people he's ever seen in a movie theater in Keene, and there was like 20 people in there.
No, it was actually pretty well attended for Keene. I would say there were 30, 40.
Yeah, but still, it wasn't even all the way full.
No, I've never seen that here.
And, yeah, so you can always choose your spot whenever, and you know, going the day before, even then, you know, usually that would probably be filled up, right? It wasn't nighttime either.
Yeah.
It wasn't nighttime.
No, we caught the matinee.
Matinee, like 4 o'clock or something, so. But still, I love going to see movies in Keene because of that. And right next door to the movie theater, Keene, is a toy store. So I got an amazing picture that I've been sharing everywhere. That's me in my Barbie outfit standing in front of a toy store with, like, a Barbie pose.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like I'm a Barbie doll that escaped.
Indeed.
But we were talking before the end of the show, or the end of the segment, about the Barbie movie and whether or not it was woke. Ian probably thinks it was a little more annoyingly woke than I thought it was. I feel like if it didn't touch on some woke stuff, it would be shocking. Like, they weren't going to do that. And a lot of people would probably be like, why didn't they even talk about some current issues? I don't know. I think that they would get backlash if they didn't, and they got backlash because they did. But at the same time...
Yeah. But, yeah. I don't know. Does it have to? Maybe it... It is a movie of the moment, right? Like, it's a very 2023 film. It's got... I guess there are some older songs in it, but there's... pretty, you know, hip-hop kind of newer songs.
There's a new Nicki Minaj
Lizzo apparently Ice sings a sort of almost a narrative song throughout it. There is actually kind of like a musical aspect going on. The characters themselves sing at multiple points, which is pretty cool. And so, like, it's not... It doesn't detract a lot from the film, which is why I only took 1 point off for it. I gave the film a 9 out of a 10. I mean, it's a really, really good movie that's very, very funny. And if you don't have a stick up your butt about these things, and I don't, yeah. I can ignore something like that, and it's not a big problem, because it wasn't, like, even though it was present throughout a good chunk of the film, and I did describe it as being bashed over the head with the patriarchy, it was something that I could still leave aside and be able to enjoy the movie for what it was. And there was a lot more going on, like a lot of comedy, a lot of really creative filmmaking going on as well. Like the way the movie was constructed, the sets, the sort of the production design of the film was very, very creative, very much inspired by the way people play with toys, specifically girls apparently playing with Barbies, such as, and I think this is shown in the trailer, such as she just kind of floats out from her house. Like, there's no walls on the house because there weren't in, or at least not front walls. There's, you know, when you had the dream house or whatever as a little girl, that's the way it was. Like, Barbie's on one floor and you just take her out of that floor and you put her in another floor. So that actually goes on in this Barbie world. And so it was very, very cool how they made and constructed this world.
Yep. I mean, but we liked the movie, and I just wanted to get back to the point about whether or not it was too much patriarchy in your face. Obviously, it didn't go woke and then went broke, like people try to claim will happen. So I just don't, I've never believed that.
No, that's... seems like propaganda. That's like conservative propaganda. I mean, it may be true
Disney's
in some,
not broke.
Some instances. Supposedly Bud Light stock went down or whatever, or Budweiser stock. I don't know. I don't follow these things closely. But this was the number one movie of the weekend. It actually, I had the weekend box office pulled up here. It was $155 million and another $182 million internationally. So, like, globally, this movie brought in over $300 million in just the first weekend, which probably meant that it paid for itself. I don't know what the budget was, but I suspect it wasn't $300 million.
It was definitely in the works for a long time. I think before COVID, because, I just heard that it was going on for, like, 5 years. So I think that it started before COVID. Margot Robbie was a big part. She's the one that plays Barbie. She was a big part in making it become a movie, and I heard that had been going on for years, and apparently they were going to have Gal Gadot play her, which I'm so glad they didn't have her. I don't agree with everyone else. Like, Gal Gadot is, like, perfectly gorgeous and should play Barbie. I don't understand. Like, Margot Robbie literally is perfect to play Barbie. So I'm glad that she did.
Seemed to be well cast. Apparently she was a producer on the film as well.
And one thing that I just noted about it was I kept thinking it reminded me of pre-COVID. It wasn't anything. It went to the real world. It's just Los Angeles, and it's now. You know, it doesn't say a year when they're there, but it's, you know, supposedly now. But there is.
But it wasn't really the real world, was it? It was a very fictionalized version of the real world, in that the, especially when it came to Mattel, where the Mattel executives were particularly bumbling and incompetent, like to the point where they can't even get out of their own building due to not being able to operate their turnstiles to leave the building. I mean, instead of just jumping over them, they're literally trapped by them for a long period of time.
I guess you're right, because also a Barbie comes into the world via Barbie.
Some special method. Yeah, you can leave and arrive. You can leave from the real world and go into the Barbie world and vice versa via some long circuitous route. And I forget who it was that pointed this out, but when Barbie and Ken first come out of the real world, and this isn't, I don't think, giving too much away. It's shown in the trailers where they're in these hot pink bike suits or like biking outfits or
it's
whatever.
It's rollerblading.
Thank you. And you know they've got their bright yellow rollerblades, and they're really sticking out. They're on like Venice Beach or something like that.
Like they're neon colored, and everyone else is wearing black or whatever.
And literally every man that she goes by is saying some cheesy pickup line or some sort of gross thing to her, ultimately, including one guy coming up and slapping her on the rear. Like, this is not, I don't think, a particularly realistic world. I haven't spent a lot of time.
So I think it's only played up enough to be a real world, but except this is a movie. Yeah. I don't think that it's really so played up that you're supposed to think this is a fantasy world, too. You know what I mean? Like, played up because they want to make a point.
Yeah,
like
it's exaggerated.
Maybe every time you walk down the boardwalk, some guy won't slap you on the butt.
I mean, you're a pretty girl, Bonnie. How often does this happen to you, this sort of behavior where construction workers are saying lewd things to you? And, I mean,
it's never happened to me more than in front of the Moose Mart. And I wouldn't
where
say
you used
that,
to work?
Yeah.
Convenience store?
Nobody has like flapped my butt. That's not what I mean. It's more just like people driving by, honk honk, when I'm like bringing the sign out. And I don't know, I think that happens more in New Hampshire than it happens in, because I think the reason why I always had this feeling like I could wear whatever I want, I wouldn't look out of place walking around like San Antonio or Austin. But when I'm here, I feel like if I dress up too much, I look out of place. Everybody's like, I'm just in the middle of the woods. Why are you dressed like that? Or kind of thing. It's like everything is family-oriented in New Hampshire. Everywhere you go. I don't feel like there's a place where you can go and not feel like you're going to run into a family with kids. And I don't know. I just think that it's more, you stand out more when you're wearing shorts in New Hampshire than
And you think that the
city.
Honks were sort of, you know, looking at you as an object or a woman. I mean, you have no idea why they were honking, right?
I'm just giving an example that came to my head, and I've just noticed that that's a weird amount of that happening to me. And it's mostly in Keene. And also just, like, getting looks at all. You get more looks here. Even though, I don't know, I was more of a minority there. There were less white people there and more white people here. I still just feel like a lot of times that, I don't know, I stand out more here sometimes, unless I just wear a t-shirt that says I'm already against the next war or something. You know, like I wear a lot of the times because that's what I just decided to start wearing. Anyways, the thing is, Ian doesn't know what it's like to be a woman, so
he thinks
it's so ridiculous, but that's just...
You mean the quote-unquote real world of the movie?
Yeah. I think that all they did was take the real world and exaggerated a little.
I think it was exaggerated quite a bit, but it was exaggerated.
But are you Margot Robbie wearing a thong in public? I mean, she was wearing, like, these biker shorts, but then the other top of it was kind of like a unitard that was thong-like.
Yeah.
And to her, that's like, what, I'm just being a normal woman in Barbie land, but it's a little risque for the real world. And
maybe.
Then she says, oh, we need some, you know, we need to go to this construction site and see if there's some women working here we can get in touch with. And it's because she doesn't understand that men
her
work
world,
on
it's
things.
All women doing things.
And then they're like, hey, baby, that's just a movie thing. That, I mean, like, people getting catcalled specifically from construction workers is more of a movie thing.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, I think that the second most I've ever gotten, like, catcalled is actually Salt Lake City. But one thing about it is walking around with another hot girl. Like,
that's more likely to increase the catcalls?
Yeah. Like, me and my friend from Germany, we would walk around Salt Lake City, and she was so boy crazy. I'm not going to say her name or anything, but I'll say that she was so boy crazy.
Mm-hmm. So she liked it.
Well, everyone does.
Yeah.
Okay. And then people lie about it. I mean, nobody.
Because it is a compliment, ultimately.
Nobody likes getting slapped on the butt, but that is pretty freaking, like.
Also, pretty unrealistic.
I mean, maybe in a bar or something, you know?
I don't know.
But that's the thing. All I'm trying to say is I don't think that it was so overdone to the point of, mm-hmm. like, this is ridiculous.
No, it wasn't like they were doing things that would never, ever possibly happen. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't completely out of the realm of possibility, but it was certainly exaggerated.
But even so, even though this world was less of all women,
mm-hmm.
Barbie, like I said, this is a spoiler alert. Barbie, in the end, chooses to live there.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to live in the world that's all perfect. And I think that that part is so important. The fact that people who haven't seen this movie are commenting on it at all.
Well, that always happens.
You shouldn't even comment on it unless you watch it, obviously. But I think that that's why people are missing a lot, because a lot of them are not seeing it and they don't see this ending. But even the people who do go claim they went and saw it and they're still like, it was too much about ideological crap. Well, did you miss the whole ending? The fact where Barbie goes to live in a place where supposedly patriarchy exists? Because that's kind of the whole point. And I think that, as we talked about last segment, Jeffrey Tucker put on Twitter his review of this movie, and I think...
I would love to see an actual review from Jeffrey Tucker, because he just put a tweet out.
Right, just two paragraphs.
About it. I mean, it was a longer tweet than your typical tweet, but I would be really interested to hear him, like, dissect the film, but it's a really interesting
film. I don't think we'd said who Jeffrey Tucker is either, because we're libertarians, so we know who he is. He writes articles, and does he own the Brownstone Institute?
I have no idea.
So he's, it says here, prez of the Brownstone Institute.
Okay.
And he writes at the Epoch Times. And
yep, that's a newspaper.
So he's a libertarian. He's really smart. At all libertarians.
He's very respected in the liberty community. A big, thinker, very smart guy, yeah.
Apparently he saw the Barbie movie, and this is what he had to say. He said, there is a reason that most reviews of the Barbie movie don't tell you what it is actually about. It's because it is too phantasmagoric, too internally cultural referential, too deeply Freudian, too gender binary, and too true even to discuss. It's a trauma for anyone who hasn't tried to keep pace for 30 years of ideological BSery. Oh, who has tried to keep pace? Yeah, there we go. It's a trauma for anyone who has tried to keep pace for 30 years of ideological BSery. The message is, the real world exists, and you should live in it, despite its difficulties, pains, and challenges. The commercial world is only there to provide ideal types to help you imagine your own true self. That's a decent message, but if reality is a problem for you, this movie will be extremely disorienting.
Mm. Yeah, I really thought that was a thoughtful look at what this movie is really about. Like, when you peel away the patriarchy and the glitz and the glamour and sort of the surface layer stuff, I think he really kind of digs into the guts of the film. And as you pointed out, and again, spoiler alert here, this is the ultimate decision that that Barbie makes. There's this sort of negativity that comes into her world, and this is revealed in the trailer. This part is revealed where she's at a dance party, and she's, you know, there's this dancing, you know, number going on, and then all of a sudden she's, does anybody ever think about death? And it just, you know, the record screeks and everything stops and everybody's staring at her because
no one else is supposed to think of things like that. They live in an eternal, perfect world.
They always live
death
forever.
Right.
So the fact that she could even conceptualize this just brings everything to this grinding halt. And as it turns out, what the reason she's thinking about this is she's sort of tied into a real world person who was, a Barbie user, if you will, played with Barbies growing up or whatever. And so her goal then becomes she has to go to the real world. This is why she goes to the real world, is she has to find this girl, this person who is bringing these thoughts of death into her mind through her play with the Barbie dolls, ultimately.
Like the doll in the real world is tethered to the idealistic Barbie and the Barbie dream world.
Yeah, somehow, through movie magic, right?
Yep.
And so that's what brings her to the real world, and we won't say who she ends up finding and all of that. But it's interesting, and that's how she becomes, you know, aware of this other world and wanting to be a part of it. And it, as Jeffrey Tucker points out, despite all of its faults, which might include the patriarchy, she decides that she would rather be there. And that's a really cool way to look at the movie.
I think that it's very empowering. The creator of Barbie shows up in the movie. Apparently it's some old woman named Esther Handler.
An actress. I suspect the woman herself is
dead.
Probably gone by now.
But she's representing the creator of Barbie, a person named Esther Handler. And
is that her name? I thought it was Ruth or something like
that. Oh, Ruth Handler? I don't know. I just chose another Jewish name.
Esther definitely is an old lady name, though, for sure.
Yeah. And apparently Barbie was named after her daughter, Barbara. And I always thought that it was a man. I always heard the creator of Barbie named Barbie after his daughter.
The patriarchy that's programmed you.
I swear that I remember. I was telling Ian during the movie, I was like, I swear it's a man. And he was like, what?
The patriarchy changed the myth of Barbie to have been created by a man.
Maybe my parents were just wrong, because I swear I remember when I was a little kid, my parents telling me, oh, the creator of Barbie named Barbie after his daughter. Mm-hmm. Maybe they did say hers, and I just remembered it wrong. But either way, I looked up, and it's true that it was this woman that created Barbie. And anyway, so she's like God to Barbie, right?
Sure.
And there's a scene where Barbie is talking to this woman and says, like, wait, you don't get to choose my path? And she says, no, I don't get to choose my path. My joy is to watch you become whatever you end up becoming.
I don't get to choose your path?
Yeah, she doesn't get to choose what Barbie does for the rest of her life. She just will be happy to see Barbie living her best life, whatever that life is. And that's when Barbie says, like, I want to become human then.
Mm.
And I just think that it just gives...
It was surprisingly emotional. I know you didn't really feel, I don't think, as that scene was as important. You're talking about the later on one, right?
I didn't say that. But the thing that I said that was negative was I felt like it would never end. There was like there were so many characters that they all had their own little ending. And that went on for way too long.
Okay.
Like, they should have somehow combined... That's just in a movie sense, though. And it wasn't even bad enough for me to, like, be like, oh,
you didn't check your watch or anything like that, right?
No. But I will say, like, when we watched Avatar and when we watched The Little Mermaid, I was like, oh, it's already over. It wasn't like
this
I was...
This dragged
like,
a little bit for you.
It dragged a little bit. And I think that's just because there are so many characters. They all needed a resolution, of course, and that just...
Well, they don't all, you know, a lot of movies just let go of some of the other characters. They certainly could have probably wrapped it up a little differently. I felt like when I was watching it that it wasn't dragging really, and I felt like it was a tough movie to kind of wrap up, but I think they pulled it off.
Yeah, well, I guess they did as good as they could, but I didn't say anything bad about that scene with the creator. I was actually nearly tearful. I just didn't want to tear up because we're going to go get ice cream after, so I didn't. Because I don't wear waterproof eye makeup, it's easier to take off that way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that scene actually was really nice because it just like, you would think the Barbie movie would be all about how great it is to be a Barbie, but in reality, it's actually about how great it is to be a human. Mm-hmm. And I think...
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
That's a great...
You should tweet that one out because that's a good summary.
And I feel like it'd be too copying of Jeffrey Tucker.
True.
Plus, I took a whole break, like a week off of Twitter, and it just happened to coincide with the Barbie movie coming out, so I'd be like a week late.
Yeah, well, whatever. I think that sums it up really well.
Yeah. I just think that a lot more people should feel empowered being a human, because for a lot of the times it can feel terrible to be human. Like, you have emotions you have to deal with, and you have lots of things you have to deal with. Taking showers, waking up in the morning, having to sleep, having to wake up, you know, just things that go along with being human. But people don't sit around and think about how life is your creation and you have so much power.
I think I would have seen the Barbie movie if I weren't your husband, like if we weren't together, just because the preview was so well done, like the trailer, it kind of made me think of Pleasantville a little bit, the way they made the trailer. Like you can tell in the trailer that there's this separate world, and that, you know, they get out from that separate world, and this separate world is a sort of perfect place. That is sort of communicated in the trailer. And so I like movies like Pleasantville, where, for listeners that aren't familiar, if you haven't seen it, you really should. It is this perfect little town.
And Reese Witherspoon would have been a great Barbie, too, I just got to say.
Maybe. Probably a little too old these days. But in this movie, there's this perfect little town, and these things start to go, quote-unquote, wrong for the town. But it's actually making it more interesting, making it more lifelike, and it's a beautiful film that I don't think Barbie tops Pleasantville, but Barbie is, I think, in the same category. Barbie's funnier, I think, than Pleasantville was, but Pleasantville is also a very, very funny film in its own way. But I like those movies where there's sort of, I don't know if fish out of water is really the right term. There is some of that in this movie, but more than meets the eye, so to speak. Like that when the characters discover that there's more to life than what they were born into. So in the case of Barbie, she discovers there's this whole other human world. In the case of Pleasantville, the characters there discover, you know, all kinds of feelings and sensations and things they've never encountered before. Or you could look at like The Truman Show from the 1990s with Jim Carrey, where he's also born into this perfect
TV
world.
TV show, basically.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah. He is actually in a TV show, but he mm-hmm. doesn't know it.
And he doesn't know it.
Because he was like an experiment. They let a baby grow up in a TV show, and everyone he knows is actors, but he doesn't know it.
Yeah. And then, I guess, I don't want to give it away. That one's 20 or 30 years old at this point, but, you know, he escapes from that world. And so getting into that larger world, and of course The Matrix is a classic example of this as well, where things aren't what they seem. You know, the reality, if you don't question it, is fine enough, but there's a whole other level. I like movies like that.
Yeah.
And this is one of those movies.
It's really, it's kind of mind-bending in that way.
I wouldn't say it's mind-bending in the way of The Matrix.
Yeah, that was shocking.
But it is in that category of character realizes there's more to life. I like that.
I like it too. And I'm glad that you're not the kind of man who would be like, oh, I would not go see the Barbie movie ever because I hate the color pink. That I wouldn't be with somebody like that because I think that's just ridiculous. And anybody who's like personally offended about the little jabs at men in this movie, I just think that's ridiculous. They don't go too far.
I'm more offended by fat Barbie, honestly.
Oh, no, yeah. I wanted to get that into it because we're done talking about Barbie, but I think the worst part was just the fact there was a fat Barbie and we were supposed to just believe she was just as beautiful as Margot Robbie or Alexandra.
The trans Barbie looked better than the fat Barbie.
Oh, yeah, she did. Okay, anyways. Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.